Today being the 25th day of May, Veterans Day. How many veterans do we have in here today? I want you to stand up just a moment. I want you to stand up. If you served or are serving, we want to thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your service to our country, to our Lord Jesus. Thank you for being faithful. And it's interesting how God works things out, because today, being the 25th, today we're celebrating Memorial Day. Tomorrow we'll be celebrating the actual day, but today in our service we'll be having something special. And our lesson today is entitled, The Wisdom of Being a Faithful Friend. The Wisdom of Being a Faithful Friend. Now this is lesson 13. It's the last lesson in this series entitled, Walking Wisely in a Foolish World. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, and I'm still here, and the Lord hadn't taken us home yet, I'll be starting a new series of lessons from the book of Nehemiah. In the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, and it's entitled, let me think a minute, something about building. I can't remember now. I've got the first lesson done. I worked on it this week to try to get ahead of things, and now I can't remember. But anyway, it's from the book of Nehemiah, and it's going to be good. And I want you to be here for that. I think it'll be a good thing, because we need to look at what needs to be rebuilt in our lives personally for the Lord Jesus. Our nation needs rebuilding. It needs to be built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it needs the Lord. And we need to get the burden that Nehemiah had for his city, Jerusalem. We need to see that burden today. And next Sunday we'll be starting on that. But today I want us to start and look at this lesson. We're in the book of Proverbs. We've been looking at this for a good while now, since the 1st of December. And usually these lessons only last about 13 weeks, and somehow I can't never get them all done in 1 week. But we're going to be looking at it today. The book of Proverbs. Let me remind you also, I put it in your bulletin, but on Monday night, June the 9th, is our first Conquerors Class Fellowship, Ice Cream Fellowship. We'll be up at Tropical Treat in Hanover. At 6 o'clock, from 6 until 8, if you can be there, we'd sure love to have you come. Just have some ice cream, you can get a hot dog or a hamburger or a fish sandwich or whatever also up there. They got all that good stuff. And then in July, we'll be down here, I think, at Twin Kiss, I believe it is. I'll have it written out for you in the next couple weeks. But today, we want to look at this lesson. It's entitled, The Wisdom of Being a Faithful Friend. And I want you to look today at Proverbs chapter 17. Verse 17. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. The Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know what? I'm glad for a friend that loves at all times, because there are times I'm not very lovable. It may be some times that you're not very lovable. Amen? All right? And you can be grumpy or whatever, but you know what? I'm glad I've got a friend that loves at all times. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. And this last lesson today, I want it to be a help and a blessing to you. And I wrote it down here. Next Sunday, our new lesson series is entitled, Broken and Building, Becoming a Spiritual Leader. And you know what? Our world today needs some spiritual leaders. Good, godly spiritual leaders. And it starts with us. It starts with the body of Christ. And we need to be those spiritual leaders. So we'll start that next Sunday, but I hope you'll be here for these lessons. But the song that we sang today, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, came to my mind as I began to study this lesson. And I was thinking about the words of that song. And that song is attributed to a man who wrote a poem. His name was Joseph Scriven. Joseph Scriven. He was born in Ireland. Isn't it strange that last week, Brother Ledbetter was here from Ireland. And this man that wrote this song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, he wrote the poem, and he was born in Ireland. But at the time of writing the poem, he was living in Canada. He was living up north in Canada. And he wrote the poem to send to his mother, who was going through a period of testing and grief. And he just wanted to be an encouragement to her. And when he wrote that poem, he sent it to her. And he called the poem, "A Friend Who Understands." A Friend Who Understands. And he sent it to her there in Ireland back in 1855. That's when he wrote this poem, wrote the words to this song. And he had planned for many years to marry a beautiful Irish sweetheart, his little sweetheart. They'd gone through a great grief because on the day before they were to get married, his bride-to-be accidentally drowned. On the day before they were to be married, she drowned. And after seeing her body as it was taken out of the water, he suffered a shock that would stay with him for the rest of his life. And he would spend the rest of his life helping those who'd gone through heartaches, gone through problems, the less fortunate. He would help them in the towns of Lake Rice and Port Hope. And years would again pass before this hymn would appear as a hymn, but it would be entitled, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And Charles Converse, he wrote many songs in those days. He put music to poems and things like that. And we have a lot of those songs in our hymn book today. But Charles Converse wrote the music. And he was looking at this. He had music, but he didn't have any words for it. And he thought, man, I wish I could just find some words that would fit this music that I've written. And he saw this poem, and he put it to music. And it's thought that because the words of her son's poem were of such great comfort and strength, that Mr. Scriven's mother copied the poem and sent the words to others to encourage them and to strengthen them in their times of need. And this song, I don't know if you know it. I think you do. Most everybody knows it. But this song has been a blessing to lots of people. It's been a help to people because they need to be reminded that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, what we need to think about today is the fact that the words of God, the Word of God, can be a help to us in time of need. When we're down and out, we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. We need to turn back to the one that gives us that strength and that encouragement. So I hope that not only the song, but I want the lesson to be a help to you today as well. So let's look at this lesson. I want us to understand that the topic of friendship is not just limited to the book of Proverbs. That word, that friendship, but it's found all throughout the Scriptures. And Solomon no doubt had a great understanding of the Word of God. He understood a lot of things. But he knew true friendship from hearing the stories of his father, King David, and his dear friend, King Saul's own son, Jonathan. Their hearts were knit together as brothers. And David had grown up as one of eight sons, okay? And two daughters to a man named Jesse. Now you remember that Jesse was from Bethlehem. He was a Bethlehemite. Bethlehemite. And while David grew up as a shepherd, tending his father's flocks, Jonathan grew up in the palace halls of King Saul. Had everything going for him. He became a valiant warrior in King Saul's army. And their friendship is one of faithfulness. It's one of commitment between two young men who would eventually both become valiant warriors in King Saul's army. And as you look at this story about King Saul and Jonathan, King Saul became very jealous of David. After the Spirit of God left King Saul and an evil spirit came upon him, and David was crowned, anointed, so to speak. He was anointed by Samuel as God's choice for king of Israel. The friendship between Saul and David was tested in many ways. And yet the friendship of Jonathan and David would become closer and closer. Jonathan knew his father had been out of the will of God. Jonathan knew that David was the next man. And King Saul was upset because his son was not going to be the king. But Jonathan understood that. Jonathan understood God's purpose and plan for David. And he went along with that. And that's why he and David were such good friends. And you may read of how David honors his friend Jonathan by befriending Jonathan's orphaned and crippled son Mephibosheth over in 2 Samuel chapter 1. And there's a message I used to hear preached a lot of times, the first bus kid. His name was Mephibosheth. And the king sent a chariot by his house to pick him up and bring him to the king's palace. And one of the bus men, Dr. Beebe and Dr. Hiles, used to preach about that. The first bus kid, Mephi. They couldn't pronounce Mephibosheth. He just called him Mephi. But God used this story of friendship. And God used it in a special way. And Solomon, no doubt here in writing these things, and as the Spirit of God led him, he desired to honor, and he wanted to pass on the meaning of what being a faithful friend truly was all about. A faithful friend is not somebody that just goes along with everything that we think. Okay? My wife does not always go along with what I think. And she is a faithful friend, okay? She is a faithful friend. Later on, she finds out that she was wrong, and she submits, and she said, But hopefully she closed it. No, huh? Yeah. She's preaching now. Y'all don't listen to her. All right. No more women preachers. All right. But anyway, listen. To be a faithful friend means to be something special. You're going to share the truth. You're going to share what's right. And you're going to try to encourage and help somebody. So I want us to look at the lesson today, and I'm going to get it into two main parts here. The first part we're going to see is the vexation of a fickle friend, okay? And then the second part we're going to learn about the value of a faithful friend. And I want us to look at it today. Number one, the vexation of a fickle friend. I want us to define a few words today, okay? Vexation, all right? Vexation, that's a big fancy word. But it basically means the act of harassing or troubling someone. It's the cause of troubles. That's what vexation is. It's the cause of troubles. Fickle means it is someone that is marked by a lack of steadfastness. The dictionary defined it as given to erratic changeableness or inconsistency. Someone that's not consistent in the things that they think and they do. That's what it means to be fickle. And the trouble with fickle friends is that they're always available for a party, okay? They're always there when everything's going good, but when they're never available in the hard times. They're never available when you're going through the tough times. And folks, listen, I want you to understand something. Fickle friends are unreliable in crisis. They're unreliable. I don't want to be a fickle friend. I want to be there when you need me, when I can be a help to you, when you need someone to give you truth and you're not sure what to do about something. I want to be one of those friends that you would consider a faithful friend. Not a fickle friend, but a faithful friend. And I want you to see this today. Solomon observed here how that fickle friends are always eager to befriend someone who has riches, or they have little or no time for those that have seemingly tangible riches. They don't want to be around folks that don't have anything to give back to them. I want to be a faithful friend to anybody and everybody. Amen? Amen. I want to be a friend to somebody that needs the truth, that needs somebody to love them and point them in the ways of God. And you know what? God will bless. I want you to look at a passage of Scripture today from the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 20. A fickle friend has no time for those who have no riches, nothing to give back to them. But listen to what the Bible said here in Proverbs 14, 20. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Boy, that's a fact that we see today, is it not? Man, you got money, you got friends. But when you don't have that money, boy, it seems like those friends disappear. You remember the story of the prodigal son? When he had daddy's riches, boy, he had all the friends he could have. But when it ran out, he was left with nothing, no place to go. He stayed with the hogs, okay? And that was bad for a Jewish person. And man, he would desire to be fed the husks that were fed to the pigs, and no man even offered him that. Boy, it's a sad day like that. But look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 4. Solomon observed something else here. He observed that a wealthy person has many friends. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 4. Look at what he said. He wrote here and he said, "Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor." And he went on to add down in verse number 6. Look at verse number 6. "Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts." Boy, you give gifts, boy, they're your friend. If you just say, "Just come to church today, without giving anything away, just come because you love the Lord," and a lot of folks won't show up. You know what? It's a sad day when things like that happen. But notice what else Solomon observed here in verse number 7 of that same chapter. Proverbs 19, verse 7. He said, "All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him." We can see this truth lived out in the life of the prodigal son. We see this truth lived out in different people all throughout the Word of God. But you know what? A faithful friend is one that will look beyond wealth and riches and things that they get out of that. All they're wanting is a friend. All they want is to be a help and a strength to someone. And that's the type of friend that we ought to want to be. Fickle friends are unreliable in time of crisis. I want you to look at this second thing. Fickle friends are irrelevant in counsel. In counsel. Now, why is this? Well, sadly, the counsel and advice of a fickle friend, it often proves to be irrelevant and unreliable. Because Solomon wrote about this in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. I want you to look at this. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Solomon wrote and he said, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." The kisses of a friend are deceitful. Why is this? Because oftentimes a fickle friend will only tell you what you want to hear instead of telling you what you need to hear. They'll tell you what you want to hear, which may be good or may not be good, instead of telling you what you need to hear. And the fickle friend does not and often cannot understand the concept that iron sharpeneth iron. We need to remember that today. We're to help one another to stay faithful to God. Listen, I want to help somebody that's wanting to stay faithful for God. They're going through heartaches and troubles, and they're thinking about just quitting. Listen, don't quit. When you go through those heartaches, you go through those trials, you go through those problems that you're having right now, could it be that God is trying to help you to see your need to draw closer to Him, to trust in Him when you can't put your faith and trust in anyone else? You know what? God uses different situations in life to help draw us closer to Him. I'm thankful for the times when I've got heartaches and troubles and trials. Why? Because I have time then to draw close to God. I've got a friend in Him that sticks closer than a brother. And the Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Go over just a few more verses down in that same chapter, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. And he said here, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." He helps him. He guides him. The fickle friend only desires to avoid conflict. They don't want to state the truthful matters about things. They just want to avoid a conflict. So they'll just go along with anything that's said. And to be quite honest with you, most so-called friendships never rise above the level of simply being a shallow, surface relationship. We need friends today that are going to stick by us no matter what happens. Amen? Listen, we got a Savior that has stuck by us. We've got a God that so loved the world when we were useless, when we were lost in our sins, when we were still as ungodly sinners. Christ still came to this world and He died for us. He did for us what no one else could ever do. And you know what? That's the kind of friend I want to be. The wisdom of being a faithful friend. But I want you to see this also. The disloyalty of fickle friends in the midst of controversy. Their disloyalty. Disloyalty. Sadly, a fickle friend places no real value on being loyal. They place no value on loyalty, especially when the tables are turned and things get rough. They just want to back away. They don't want to be a part of it. Listen, Judas Iscariot was such a fickle friend. He was a fickle friend with our Lord Jesus. He betrayed the Lord Jesus with a kiss. And Jesus looked at him and He said, "Betrayest thou me with a kiss?" Can you imagine hearing the Son of God say that to you? Man, I can't imagine. The custom still is when you go over in that land, they want to kiss you on each cheek. I'd just rather shake hands, you know. But that's still a custom. They still do that. But betrayed with a kiss. Can you imagine? When he saw that Jesus had no desire to uproot the Romans as the leadership in Israel, Jesus didn't come to uproot Roman leadership. He came to die for the ungodly. Jesus came as the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He came to do for you and for me what we could not do for ourselves. And Solomon wrote about that fickle friend who betrays his friends with words. And I want to see these verses. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. He said, "A froward man soweth strife." A froward man is one that is perverse in his way of thinking. Okay? He's not right with God. "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer," a gossiper, "separateth chief friends." And go over to chapter 17 and look at verse 9. In verse 9, he said, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." Boy, the gossiper, man, the one that is fickle. One day they're for you, the next day they're against you. Well, that's a sad way to be, isn't it? And that's not a sign of true friendship. And the implication in these two verses is that the whisperer, or that gossiper, they betray a confidence by divulging privileged information about his so-called friend. They betray them as a friend. They betray them. David wrote of being betrayed by a friend. Back in Psalm chapter 41 and Psalm chapter 55, he wrote about this. And David had known the value of true friendship. He had that in his friend Jonathan. But he saw what fickle friendship was in King Saul. King Saul was one day for him and the next day out to kill him. And for many, many years, he had to run for his own life. David did. The vexation of a fickle friend. But I want you to see today the value of a faithful friend. Now, I want you to see this. Someone has said, "A friend in need is a friend indeed." I don't know who wrote that, but that little saying probably came around as a result of somebody considering those who are loyal and dependable in times of hardship and times of heartache and trials and adversity. But isn't it sad that many who claim to be friends are often found MIA, missing in action, when you need a friend, when you truly need a friend? And folks, listen, we need to be that friend that sticketh close by. We need to be one like Jesus, the one that sticketh closer than a brother. I want you to see a couple things with you here today before we close out this lesson. I'm going to try to get it all in. The value of a faithful friend. Now look at this. The first reward of a true and faithful friend is this. It's stable companionship. It's stable companionship. A true friend is someone that will love to spend time with you, no matter what the situation. That's the sign of a true friend. All right? Jonathan and David were found to be true and stable friends. Listen, even when they were going through the heartaches, the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, look at this, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Man, that's a friend that's loyal. Man, that's what you want. That's what we need to be as Christians. We need to be friends to pray for one another. I asked the other day, Thursday night, I guess it was, when I was visiting with Dave and Nadine, and I asked them, I said, you know, what could we do to be a help to you at this time? And they, of course, said, pray for us. And Nadine even said, if you want to have folks come and visit, that would be great. I'd love to see them. I said, that'd be great. I'll tell them. And Dave said, thinking like a man, he said, well, a meal would be nice if I can't fix it. And I said, well, you know what? We can get some meals together to help you out. If you need that, we'll be glad to bring you a meal over. I won't fix it, but I can get my wife to fix it. We'll deliver it or whatever. You know, we got folks in our Sunday school class to be willing to do that. But you know what? They just need a friend. Family is family. And we are God's family. Amen. And we want to encourage one another. Look over at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 24. Here's that verse I want you to remember today. Proverbs 18, 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I've had folks that left here, left church, left Sunday school, say, well, I'm not coming back to that church. Everybody's just stuck up. Nobody treated me nice. And I always quote them this verse. Well, the Bible says a man that hath friends, if you want friends, you need to show yourself friendly. You need to be a friend. You want friends? Be a friend. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, that friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to be more like Him. A true and loyal friend can be counted upon to stand close even when others just kind of tuck tail and run. You want to be there for them. You want to love them. You want to encourage them. I want you to look at this also. The second reward of a true and faithful friend, is sensitive counsel. It's sensitive counsel. Chapter 27 of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 27, verse number 9. I want you to look at this. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. When my wife puts on perfume, it just makes my little heart putter. I think I'd have AFib again, you know. I think I got AFib again. Take another tablet there or something. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so that the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You know, I've had to sit down with people and just give them some counsel. And sometimes they'll come back and they'll say, you know what, I want to just say thank you. I needed to hear that. I knew it down deep, but I was afraid to make a choice with it. And you know what? You gave me the right counsel. Thank you. I've had others come back and say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I think. I'm going to follow my heart. Folks, don't follow your heart. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. We need to follow God's word. We need to follow the Lord. We need to follow the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 6. Solomon often spoke of wisdom and godly counsel. And in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6, he said this. He said, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." You know what? You need counsel. Listen, go to the pastor. If ever you feel that I've said something wrong, if ever you feel I've guided you in the wrong way, I don't have a problem if you come to me and say something about that. All I would ask is that you bring your Bible and show me if I've been wrong. Show me what the Bible says. And you know what? I've tried to use that same type of counsel when I sit down with people. Listen, let's not think about what I think. Let's just see what does God's Word say about the matter. And let's see what God has to say about it, and then where we are, and then where we need to be. And you know what? The most part of our counsel is this: trying to convince a person that they need to trust the Lord. You need to trust His Word. The devil wants to make it seem like God's Word is naught. That's what he did from the very beginning in the book of Genesis. "Yea, hath God said?" God didn't really mean that when he said that. "You're not going to die. You're not going to..." "Oh, you're just going to..." And the devil twisted. But folks, we need good counsel, godly counsel. And it comes from the Word of God. I want you to see the third reward real quick of a true and faithful friend. And it is supportive confrontation. Now, nobody likes that word confrontation. Nobody likes it. But Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Look at this verse. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. We looked at it just a moment ago. "Iron sharpeneth iron." You can't sharpen iron with sandstone. You can't sharpen iron, okay, with a little mud rock out here to get out of the creek. That's not going to help. Iron sharpeneth iron. "So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Confrontation, folks, is always a risky thing. It's always risky. But so often it has the potential to help restore a brother or sister in Christ who is erring in their ways. If you see someone, you know someone's doing something wrong, warn them. Help them to see the error of their way in love and in kindness, but in firmness through the light of the Word of God. Listen, I've had folks that got upset with me because I gave them what God's Word says. And I said, "Listen, you're not upset with me. You're upset with God, because all I'm showing you is what God's Word says." I'm sure a pastor's gone through this more than I ever have. And you know what, folks? We need to be willing to remember that iron sharpeneth iron. I want you to remember something else, too. The Apostle Paul challenged the church of Galatia. And I want you to see this in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This is a good challenge. We need to take up this challenge. Look at what he said. "Brethren," he's talking to the brothers and sisters in Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," if he has a problem that you see, he's got an issue here. There's something going on that's not right. "If a man be overtaken in a fault," look at this. "Ye which are spiritual," you that claim to know Christ and claim to be living in the power of His Word, you that are under the submitting power, you know, you've submitted yourselves to Christ. "Ye that are spiritual," look at this. The next word is what? "Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." Our goal when we counsel folks, our friends, and being a faithful friend, is to help restore them to a right spirit with God. Our goal is not to say, I'm right and you're wrong. That's not it. Because all you got then is just continual confrontation. The goal is to restore that person to seeing things God's way, not our way. And look at what he said. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. In meekness. Why? Because you need to consider yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need to maintain this attitude whenever we're dealing with situations with others and trying to help restore them. We need to remember this fact. Were it not for the grace of God, that could be me. I could be in that same situation today. So what I want to do is help restore them, help get them to see the truth of the Word of God so they can have a right spirit with the Lord. A true friend cares enough to confront the issues in an effort of restoring a friend who's in a bad situation. Now I want you to look at this verse, Proverbs 27:6. We looked at it already. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You may say, well, he's hurt me by telling me the truth. Truth may hurt you today, but it will not harm you. The kisses of a friend, you know, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. But the confrontational truth will be a help to you. We need that today. And in the same way, through the sweet Holy Spirit of God, God gives His Holy Spirit to give us guidance, to help us. He points us in the right direction. How many of you ever understand this fact, that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? Okay? We know what we ought to be doing, but it's hard to do that. So we just follow the way of the flesh. You know, any little drop of water can follow a trickle in a crack. Okay? That's not what we're to do. We're to be faithful. Let me just close out the lesson with this real quick, because I just got just a few moments. We need to understand that we need to walk wisely in this life. And part of that wisdom of learning to walk wisely in a foolish world is learning to be a faithful friend. You never help your children by allowing them to get away with doing whatever they want to do. You keep them from the adversary. You keep them from the one that wants to destroy their lives. You love them and you tell them the truth. It's the same way with friendships. And you know what better way to end a lesson, a series of lessons about walking wisely in a foolish world, than to finish it with being a friend, a faithful friend. Charles Weigel wrote a song, and I don't have time to tell the whole story, but he wrote a song that no one ever cared for me like Jesus when his wife left him. She said, Charles, I don't want to live the life of a Christian. I don't want to do that. She died in a terrible manner. And he wrote the words to that song. And when he wrote the words to that song, he thought about Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And folks, you've got friends out there. You've got neighbors. You've got family members today that needs to know that there's no other friend better to them than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no friend that could stick closer than any brother than the Lord Jesus Christ. We just need to be willing to share the good news of that friend and let folks know that God loves them and wants them to be saved. The wisdom of being a faithful friend. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you, Lord, today. And Father, I know that I didn't get all this lesson done like I'd planned to get it done in just one time, but Father, I hope that your word will speak to the hearts of your people. And Lord, I hope that they will see today the wisdom of being a faithful friend. Lord, thank you for being that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Thank you, Lord, for showing me the truth of my spiritual situation and my need of a Savior. And God, thank you for being the one that would love me and stand by me through everything I've ever gone through in this life. Help me now, Lord, to be more like you. Help me, Lord, to live for you and to serve you and to share the truth of that friendship with others around me. God, I pray now, Lord, you'll lift up our pastor, strengthen him today as he stands to preach. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.